Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. We have got an echo, Linda. I'm going to try and mute you for 1 minute and see if we can get it to go away. I am your host, I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And we have got one heck of a show lined up for you guys today. We have my friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com, who's calling in from the Ozarks with an echo on her phone. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Hi. Well, I don't know why I should have an echo today, but I will call back in just a moment. So go ahead and just talk for a second, and I'll be right back.
Okay, sounds good. I'm going to go get our guest unmuted real quick while we do that. And hopefully Rhonda comes back momentarily and can give her a proper introduction. Hello, Gloria. How are you today?
Hello. Can you hear me well, right?
I can hear you just fine.
And I don't have an echo, so we're doing good.
You do not have an echo. I know Rhonda uses a VoIP system, and every so often when she calls in, even though she's calling in through a phone, not through her computer, sometimes it has an echo, and other times it doesn't. It's really strange. We've never figured out why that happens for her.
Yeah, it's technology. It's out to get us.
It really is. It does it to me every so often, too. And
Miss
Rhonda is back.
Society technology will not defeat me.
That is true. I agree with that. Rhonda, that is much, much better.
Oh, good. Yeah, we just never know why that happens sometimes. But anyway, I'm glad it's clearer now because it certainly is annoying to have echoes and feedback and all that good stuff. So, yeah, and so technology, we will win. And I don't know if Mercury is still backwards or whatever, but...
I think it ends Thursday or Friday. It might be Friday with 12-21-2012.
At the end of the world, so to speak, yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Right. Well, anyway, no, I'm really excited. I'm so excited to have Gloria here with us. And it's always good to be back. And this is our final show of 2012 and the final show of the Mayan calendar era. So
it is.
Yes.
So I promised our listeners that you would give Gloria a proper introduction when you got back.
I will absolutely do that. And hang on just 1 second while I get back to my computer. Here I am. So I am really excited about having Gloria here because it's really fun and interesting when you get somebody who has pretty different and interesting slant on things, not the usual. You know, this is not just the usual person who's into marketing or even into just running a business or whatever. This is very special. So our guest is Gloria Taylor Brown, and she is in many things. She is a modern mystic. She is an author. She is a visionary teacher. And in working with her, she helps people to write books, but she also brings into play the various wisdom traditions in which she has been trained. So she is grounded in the New Thought principles, also areas such as alchemical healing and shamanic methods. She is also very gifted as a clairvoyant and clairaudient, and she teaches people in ways that involve those mystical teachings as well as, you know, just the practical things that a person needs to know. So, and she really is generously bringing in those elements so that you get that spiritual essence as well. And she has been a student of Egyptian and Greek mysteries since childhood, as well as the Native American mysteries that are part of her heritage. And she has been working with shamanic healing for a very long time, which is fabulous, and has an interesting story that I'm hoping we will get her to share about co-authoring a book with people as they were taking a journey in Egypt. And I'm really excited to have her share that, and I'm very excited to have her here. So, Gloria, I really welcome you here to Relationship Marketing 101. Thank you for joining us today.
And, Rhonda, when I first met Gloria just a couple of weeks ago, we had dinner together the first night that I was in Tampa 2 weeks ago. As I got to know her and talk to her a little bit, all I could think of was, oh, my goodness, I wish Rhonda was here. I knew you and Gloria were going to hit it off well the minute that Gloria and I started to talk.
Yes, and we've only had a few minutes to get briefly acquainted as she was dashing off to go and speak at a conference when we spoke. But I was just so happy, and I just picked up the phone and called her and actually got to speak to her right away. So that was quite a gift and a blessing to me. And I'm excited to get a little bit more acquainted as we do the show together today.
I am as well. Thanks for being here, Gloria.
Well, thank you for having me. I love to be on the radio. You know, it's so much more convenient than the TV. I don't have
yes.
to put on makeup.
Yes. I can be in my zebra slippers. It's not real zebra.
We've now put a picture out there in the people's minds that they're going, ew.
Too funny. So, Rhonda, where would you like us to get started today?
Well, I really would like to get started. We'll get it started here. There are a lot of people who would feel that if they have a more unusual talent or skill or a particular spiritual bent or whatever, that couldn't possibly ever mix with business. And there are some people, and I've known plenty, who are very gifted people with psychic or intuitive abilities, yet who've had a very difficult time in the world because they're feeling that they have to always be just separate and disconnected from everything and just keep it purely spiritual or whatever. So I would really love to start with, Gloria, being able to share some of your story and what is it that brought you to the place that you are now and learning these various mysteries and then deciding in this technological era to bring all of that to people worldwide?
Well, the story begins a long time ago, longer ago than I can possibly let you know these days. I am in my 60s. And when I was a little girl, my mother was in the hospital with polio and encephalitis, and she was actually in an iron lung for 9 months. And during that time, I lived with my grandmother and my grandfather. And I was about 3.5 years old whenever I encountered my first spirit, which was my grandmother's brother. I walked into the dining room, and there was a man sitting in a chair. And he said, "Go get your grandmother. I need to talk to her." And being 3.5, I did what I was told. A few minutes later, she came back into the room, and she was crying, and she asked me how I had seen him, which was kind of an odd question. And
right,
she said,
well, with my eyes, right?
Yeah. It was, and she said, "That was my brother. He just passed, and he came to say goodbye." And from that time on, she sort of took me under her wing and began training me training me how to read palms and how to read tarot cards, and training me that there was a whole other world there that other people didn't see. And she was very good at it. For her, it was just part of life. And so because she regarded it as, this is just part of what you do, this is who you are. And she also was an absolute pillar of the First Baptist Church in Tallahassee, Florida. So to her, there was no separation.
Right.
And so going forward from that, I became fascinated with all kinds of things, particularly Egypt. And I didn't understand that other people, I knew other people didn't see the same things I did, because that was obvious. But I didn't understand I wasn't supposed to say it. And it took me a while to learn that there were other people who had different views than my grandmother, and thought that you should separate all this, and that, you know, the spiritual goes over here and the physical goes over there. But because of the fact that I had such a combination of it so early on, in a way, it's like I'm a practical mystic. You know, I use computers. I have, at this moment in time, three of them sitting in front of me. I was trained in marketing I am a mystic, and I take people to Egypt, and I speak to the gods and goddesses of Egypt, and they speak through me. I speak to angels. That's just who I am. And I decided that it's just too complicated to try and separate the two.
It is detrimental, too, but you're right. It is too complicated, yes.
So whenever people, you know, separate, you know, they've lived their lives separating to, it's like they're half people, you know. There's this half person that's out there doing business and, you know, whatever it is. And then they go home and there's this other half person who's, you know, a spiritual psychic, whatever it is, and they don't let them touch. And because they don't let them touch, they don't have the full range that is available to them. I always encourage people to, one of the things I used to teach is a class on following your intuition. So you had a question?
Yeah, no, I'm part of why I brought that up is because I observe sometimes with some of my clients, and I know, Gina, that you do with yours, that there are times when your students try to separate their, I'm building a business through the internet self, and then this is the rest of my life, no matter whether that means psychic or religious or whatever it happens to be that they want to separate, and try to put those two things apart. Or here's my social media face for the internet, and then here's the real me, something else. Right, and so that harmonizing all of that is a big part of growing a harmonious self as well as a solid business.
I think in this age of Facebook and Twitter and what have you, and no matter how much you want to say, well, I'm only going to have my friends and family on this Facebook page, that, or I'm going to say who I really am, and then I'm going to have this Facebook page over here that's my business face, they tend to bleed over.
Yep.
And you might as well just be yourself all the time. And if people don't like it, let them find somebody else.
Yeah, it's actually a good thing to polarize people, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Gina,
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, I teach all the time that there is no way to separate you personally and your business. They are two parts of one being. And when you try to separate the two, it keeps both things small. Your business doesn't truly soar and reach the levels of success you want for it. And all the other things in your life don't ever reach the levels of success you want for them either. It's
right.
only when you bring them both together and use who you are and what you do together, feeding one another, that you can really have amazing results and can really allow you, both in your life and your business, to achieve anything you can imagine. So that was one of the things that I really saw when I first met you, that you really are someone who doesn't have your life and your business and never the two shall meet. You really use who you are in what you do in a way that just can bring explosive results for people.
Mm-hmm. It's very difficult for, sometimes it's very difficult for me to keep my mouth shut. So I've decided it's not worth trying.
If
I see something over in the psychic realm or see something in the energetic realm, I go ahead and I say, well, you know, I see that this is what you want to do in your business, but there's a lot of stuff going on over here, and what is it that we need to work on there? Because that's what's holding you back, you know, whether it's something in your family or something, just simply your background or your belief system. And so many times I then get the proof. I then get why they haven't gotten started. You know, they were ill. Their mother is ill. And we talk about that, and then we can get past that back to the business part and what it is they want to accomplish with business.
So, how did you start in working with authors specifically? What got you to that point?
Well, I am a book addict. I admit it. There is nothing I'm going to do about it. I'm not going to get over it. I read around a book a day. And I was raised in a family, as I said, I was raised primarily by my grandmother and grandfather, where the art of storytelling was the way we entertained ourselves. They sat around the kitchen table at night. A few friends would come over, and they would sit there, and they would drink Coca-Cola, and tell stories. And if I was really quiet and I stayed good, they'd let me stay and listen to the stories. And I loved to hear the stories, particularly the stories about my great-grandmother and, you know, great-grandfather and things that had gone on a long time ago. So I had a real picture of who I was and where I came from. We had stories about how part of our family, which was Irish travelers, had been thrown out of Ireland. And this was a story that was handed down family to family. We had stories about my grandfather, who was Cherokee, and how his grandmother had seen the Trail of Tears in a dream and went to her father and said that we have to leave, we have to go, the men in the blue coats are coming, and if they come, we will die. And they had actually gone down into the swamps of Florida to live and to escape the Trail of Tears. And because I had those stories, I had a very interesting, complete picture of who I was. And then I grew up, and I met many people. I was in the military and in the Navy. And I met people who didn't know where their parents came from. They didn't know, you know, it's like, oh, that's an interesting name. Are your parents, you know, from Russia? I have no idea. My parents said they were Americans, and that was it. Apparently, there was a great homogenization that occurred back in the 50s and 60s. And no one told anybody what happened before. And they all lost their stories. The stories became the stories that were told on TV. The stories were told in the movies. And they don't have their own stories. And to me, this seemed like a great loss. And so I have always worked with people. It's not telling your story in the sense of, you know, carrying your baggage and dumping it in a circle, but it's telling the stories that made you who you are, why you are who you are. And so that background caused me to truly want to help people tell their stories. And I've worked with people for many years to tell their story, not only in their personal story, but their business story, because your business story is part of how you do business. I mean, we see out there, you know, established 1952. Well, there's a story behind that. You know, there's the story of a man who bought three pieces of furniture and went into the furniture business. So there's a, bringing those stories forward gives it depth, gives it feeling, gives it, it's like the difference between cheap polyester and expensive velvet.
Right. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So that part of that is what I wanted to bring into my business. And my my being as I move forward is helping people to tell their stories. And I love the fact that Rhonda is the story lady.
Oh, yes. It's great fun, and you are so right. There are many kinds of stories that make us who we are, and certainly some of it is family heritage, some of it is things that we learned growing up, and then... sometimes there are just bringing the little things that happen in daily life and making that a story that your customer can relate to because you connect the dots for them. So it's really beautiful. There, life without stories would be just unthinkable.
Well, think of an AT&T commercial. AT&T commercials are absolutely the most brilliant storytelling we've ever seen. I mean, they, in 30 seconds to 1 minute, they tell a story that touches your heart and your mind. And they are crafted in such a way that, you know, you just think, well, I've got to have that phone. Because, after all, it's not about the phone. It's about reaching out and touching someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a great demonstration of features versus benefits. Nobody cares about the phone as much as what you can do with it, how you can make
right.
it let you connect with people.
Yeah.
That's
it,
all the reasons the features matter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't, you see a car commercial. The car commercial doesn't talk about, you know, it may mention the engine or something, but frequently it doesn't. What it shows is the freedom of driving on an empty road. And, you know, if it's a muscle car, the pretty girl sitting in the front seat with you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Dina, what were you going to say?
Nothing. I'm just sitting here listening intently.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So let's talk a little about how relationships have helped Gloria in building her
yeah.
business.
Yeah. Yeah, so what business has brought you into that? With the relationships and with deciding to be on the Internet and all these other things, you know, yes, it's an extension of who you are. But what relationships played into all of that for you?
Well, I've always been in relationship marketing. Most of my business has always been referrals, personal referrals. And for me, the relationships has always been that piece that I have cultivated and cherished. I do a lot of women's groups. I go to networking groups that are primarily women. And I also go to other groups. And so by being in those, you and part of the reason for it is my father was in the military, and we moved every 6 months. And when I was a kid, I met a new group of people every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept telling myself I was shy and I didn't know how to talk to people, which meant that I kept the story alive for a while until I finally figured out one day, I don't have to be who I was the last time, and I don't have to be shy, and I don't have to not talk to people.
Uh-huh.
And from that time on, I have just, you know, I've never met a stranger.
Uh-huh. Love it. You reinvented yourself and let that moving be the thing that lets you do that initially. But that's true. Anyone at any time can say, you know, whatever I was before, the past is gone. It's not here anymore. This is a new moment and a new breath.
And I want to be someone else. And so I'm going to start telling my story differently. And sometimes we tell ourselves stories that keep us stuck in place. And if you just transform that story, that can become a story that is an empowering story instead of a story that holds you in place. And being in relationships helps you maintain that momentum going forward. I had to learn how to keep friends. I knew how to make them. I could do that really easy. I didn't know how to keep them because when you're in the military and you move around a lot, you just don't. And so I had to learn how to do that. And I had some. I was blessed by the fact that I had some really good teachers. One of them was my friend Catherine Ravenwood, who lives in Albuquerque, and she is excellent. I mean, I think she has friends going back to kindergarten. And she maintains relationships. And I watched her, and I watched how she, you know, called on a regular basis and how she would reach out towards people whenever she hadn't heard from them in a while. I'm going, oh, that's how you stay in relationship with people. You talk to them. You send them an email. You send them, you know, a touch, just a little touch. It doesn't have to be a sales touch. It can be just, you know, a greeting card or, here's a funny picture that made me think of you.
Right.
And that works in business, too. And that's the thing that I want to get across to people is that in business, we are still humans and we still touch each other. And, you know, you don't want to always be selling to them. That's one of the things that I've had trouble with some of my clients because they always want to sell. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to start with this and we're just going to keep selling. And it's like, yes, and they're going to unsubscribe and delete you from their email list and never talk to you again.
And so, run away and tell all their friends don't bother with you. Yeah.
So that's why I think that it's so important that we spend the time to build a relationship and to build that rapport with whether or not there are customers, our clients, our suppliers, our friends, whoever they are. You know, I actually have run into people who say, I can't sell to my friends. I only sell to my friends because my friends are the people I do business with.
What a difference. What a difference that is.
And Rhonda and I do exactly the same thing in our businesses as well. Exact same thing. It changes everything. You end up getting a bigger, higher level of fulfillment in building your business. You really touch people's hearts, not just their pocketbooks. It really changes everything, doesn't it, Gloria?
It most definitely does. And if they are your friend, if something then happens that is in their personal life, you can reach out to them and say,
right.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that your dog died, your wife is ill, whatever it is that's going on. And it's truly a friend touch.
Yeah.
And if you've kept yourself separate, you know, it's like, oh, my God, their dog died. They're not going to be able to do business with me for the next 6 months.
Yeah, it's really a big difference to treat people in that manner. And the other thing is, how can you show up as a whole person and do business as a whole person if you do not then also treat your customer or prospect as a whole person?
Right.
And, you know, the downside of relationship marketing is that you don't make money from people that find you, never hearing of you, show up on your website, and then today you sell them something at $20,000 or $30,000. It doesn't happen that way. It takes time to cultivate the relationship, and therefore, between the first touch and the time that they become a customer who is a friend, it takes a period of time. But the outcome I have found over and over again is that if you're really building relationships, while it can take longer to make your first dollar, it will mean much higher lifetime values per customer. It will mean much less work for you in the end, because every person that you're building a relationship with is going to feel that relationship. And therefore, when they talk about themselves, they simply bring up your name. You can't separate the two in their lives. And they will bring you everybody they know, helping you to make a lot more money than you ever could just going out and selling people one at a time.
You know, the one-trick pony sale, I have actually worked with clients who they have one thing to sell, that's all they sell, and, you know, then they have to get a new customer. Well, I was reading something recently. You are seven times as likely to make the second sale to someone after you've made the first sale as to make another sale.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's always a matter, you know, having that second item, you know, having built the relationship, having given them good service, given them good products, you then move forward and it's like there are other products and services that you can sell or that you can represent or that you can bring into them. I'm working with a publisher and I'm bringing him people that I believe should be authors. And, you know, it's not that I'm an agent or I'm working in any way like that, but it's just we're working almost as a referral basis. I like what he's doing as a publisher. I like what the people are doing, so I bring them together. And then we have the opportunity to create a book that will make them be recognized as an expert or an authority or simply get their message and their story out there. And by doing that, it makes a difference. You know, and it's I'm not coming at it from, the greed point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming at it from the helping point of view. It's the difference between an open hand extended and a closed fist.
Right. And the difference between a hand extended and generosity and a hand grasping to reach for something, you know, an affiliate commission or whatever, whereas you're really concerning yourself with, is this the right fit?
Right.
It's what I describe as serving to the best of your ability while strategically monetizing your business. And it really is a matter of if you're really serving to the best of your ability, if you are not giving people something that they need to invest in, whether that's a publisher, whether that's anything else, if you just give them all kinds of great stuff for free, more than 99% of them won't actually ever do anything with it. The only way you really can serve them is to get them to value what you've got to offer, and that usually means they've got to spend some money to get it. You're not serving to the best of your ability if you're not doing that. So serve to the best of your ability while strategically monetizing will help you really get leverage, meaning that you will get bigger results with less effort in less time because you're serving to the best of your ability. Does that make sense?
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. And I also believe that one of the things I've had to lose is the attachment to them actually doing what I sold them.
Yep.
Oh, yes, me too. That's a hard one for me. That was a whole bunch
It's hard for any of us who really are people who serve, isn't it?
Yeah. Because we know that this is the solution they need, and then when they're not doing it and they're not getting the result because they're not doing it, that's hard for any of us who are natural teachers.
Yeah. So, I got an email in the other day from someone. He says, look, I've done the best I can to help you make money. Would you please click your link below?
That's too funny. So how have you overcome that attachment?
The way that I've done it is like I'm also looking at overcoming my attachments to my own performance, that it has to be perfect, that it has to be, you know, exactly what is – I have a very high standard for myself. Having run an advertising agency for 20 years, you know, I have – perfection is slightly below where I expect to land. And I've had to sort of look at it and go, okay, it's good enough. You know, it's not, if I could work on it for another 8 hours, maybe it would be perfect, but I would also lose money on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to let it go. I have to do it quickly. And sometimes it's when I hire someone, realizing that they didn't do it exactly the way that I did it, I would have done it, but what they did was good enough, and that it worked. That's my goal. So, and releasing those attachments, and releasing attachments to the idea that I have to be, you know, that I have to be perfect, because I'm never going to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Really,
I mean,
well
really
said.
It is. It's very well said. Right. It really is. It is all about releasing attachment to outcome of any kind, really. Not meaning that you're going to be sloppy and not care about your own ability to create something or your performance or whatever, but that there is in the sense of the outcome with another person will be what it will. They have free will. They're going to do what they will or not what they won't. So.
And that there is perfection in that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just stepping into that space and realizing that there is a perfection, there is an opportunity there for my growth, for the client's growth, for the individual's growth. And that is absolutely perfect right now.
Yep. Yep. The reason I love wildflowers over hothouse roses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, same principle.
But they're both perfect, you know? They're both perfect in their own
both
way.
Both perfect in their way, right. Right.
And yet, one takes a lot more effort and didn't necessarily become that much more perfect, you know?
Right.
I used to live, I've lived all over the country, so I used to live in places where they actually went out and planted very carefully plants around the freeway interchanges. And they were lovely. And then I used to live up in the Washington area and Oregon area where they'd go out and plant wildflowers. And the wildflowers would come up in the spring, and they were just gorgeous, and they were just wild. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you know, yes, the planted banks were lovely, but the wildness was something that, you know, it was an exuberance there, an opportunity to expand. And,
yeah.
So,
expansion, exploration, freedom, all those good things. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, I would love for you to share the story about your book where you took people on a very special journey and co-created a book together. Would you be willing to share that?
Sure.
Because I've been looking forward to this story, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I've been to Egypt 12 times. I'm going for my 13th time in 2013. And I always wanted to write a book while in Egypt. And we're only there for 2 weeks. So I have a dear friend who's also my co-leader and my teacher. His name is Normandy Ellis, who is a, she's able to read the hieroglyphics on the walls and turn it into poetry.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
Yeah, she's pretty special. And so I told her that I wanted to write a book. I had the idea that we were going to write a book, and we were going to write the book collaboratively, not chapter by chapter, but all of us together. And I said, do you have an idea of how we can do this? And she said, yes, I have the perfect project that I've been wanting to do for several years, and I haven't had a group that we could do it with. And so we worked on it a little bit together, and then we got 17 people to come to Egypt with us, and, you know, they paid for their trip, and we had a writing school while we traveled through Egypt. We sat at the foot of the Sphinx and wrote. We sat at the base of the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, and wrote.
Oh.
We had our own private yacht, which is called a dahabeya, which is a boat kind of like what Cleopatra would have sailed on. It's a 156-footer that was built about 5 years ago, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful mahogany wood and a 62-inch TV with a satellite uplink. You know, we can't go without that. And so we used that as our floating university, and we did classes on board, and we wrote. And then when we came back, we actually had over an 800-page book because everyone had contributed for every exercise. And the biggest job we had was to figure out which one of these exercises that we wanted to, you know, whose writing we wanted to include in what chapter. So the book is actually Invoking the Scribes of Ancient Egypt. It's about Egypt. It's about historical Egypt and metaphysical Egypt. It's about traveling in Egypt. And it's also about the experience of telling your story, telling your spiritual autobiography. So it's a series of writing prompts. And so we had people that were writing absolutely gorgeous words, poetry, prose, poems, songs. And we were able to take that and through the Aegis of Inner Traditions, which is an excellent publisher that's up in Vermont, put that together in such a way that it literally is interweaved. The whole book is, you know, there's not a Normandy chapter and then a Gloria chapter and then, you know, a Nikki chapter or something like that. But our writing is interwoven throughout it all. And we also did an interesting exercise, which I think would be good for anyone who's taking people on traveling, is that we did what we called a scribe for a day, which meant that each person was assigned one day on the tour to tell about that day from the viewpoint of I. So the viewpoint changes throughout the book, and Normandy and I both wrote about the entire trip, and we used that to weave the whole thing together. But each person would tell their experience of that day. Now, some people's experience on that day that they were writing about wasn't that good. You know, that was the day that they didn't get what they wanted or whatever. And some people had magnificent experiences. So there was the difference in the writing back and forth. So putting that all together, it was actually a really interesting puzzle, and I love puzzles.
Yeah. No doubt. And especially because you weren't doing just a collaborative everyone writes your own chapter book, really interweaving everything in a way that wouldn't make the reader get a headache trying to follow it. That's quite an art.
Yeah, it really turned out very well. We were blessed with excellent editors. And I think we should all be blessed with excellent editors, as I frequently call people that bring me books and articles. You know, everybody has a story. Most of them are long, dull, and boring. Everybody needs an editor.
Yes. Yeah, and that's true. That's certainly a part of how I teach storytelling, is how to skip the boring parts.
And we also happen to be blessed with the fact we had two professional photographers that accompanied us. So we ended up with over 4,000 photographs that we were able to choose from and include in the book. We didn't include all. We had 16 pages of color photos and about 75 black and white photos that we included. So, you know, the publisher sort of groaned and agreed, and we were very happy with that. And I've put more of the photographs on the website, which is invokingthescribes.com. And there's also some of the writings there that didn't make it into the book, because I have a lot of writing that was really, really good, but it was too much to put in the book. You know,
yeah.
We had one.
I can just imagine if you had 800 pages, and I'm sure maybe not every one of them was golden, but I'm sure a lot of them were. And so that's nice that you include that on invokingthescribes.com on that website for the book, so that some of those other awesome gems can still be present for people, and that's great.
And when you visit for your 13th trip in 2013, are you bringing authors with you? And if so, will you be writing a book again this next year?
We're not going to be doing a book this next year. We're going to be doing dreams. We're looking at the idea that we're starting a new cycle of time. So we're going to work on people's dreams, and we're going to also work on their dreams of where they want to go. Because we can because one of the things that is going on right now with this cycle of time that is ending is we have the opportunity to create what we want going forward in a new way, in a more conscious way than has ever been done before. And this is an opportunity to move from that monkey man mentality that we have been operating in to a more divine human, where we can truly express ourselves as gods upon this earth. And I use the term gods meaning that we are part of God, not all of God.
Yeah.
And when will that trip take place?
That one's going to be September 19th to October 3rd, and we're going to be traveling there, and we're actually going to be on the Ascendina, which is my favorite thing. If I can figure out a way to be on there for 14 days, I would be happy. We're actually going to be on the Ascendina for 10 days out of the trip. We're going to stay at the Mina House, which is at the foot of the pyramids, for a couple of days, and do the Great Pyramid. But most of the time we'll be traveling down the Nile, and when we travel on the Nile on this boat, we get to stop at little villages that nobody else travels to. And the children all come out and want to talk to us, and we bring them pencils and the pens and things. Candy doesn't work well. Candy gets you in trouble. But we bring them like books and things like that, you know, little books they can write on. And these are kids that a pencil is a treasure.
How cool is that? And for our listeners who are interested in potentially joining you in Egypt, where can they find more info?
They can find more info on a website called Shamanic Journeys. That's Journeys with an S. .com. It's Nikki Scully is our travel coordinator, and it's her website, and we're on the front page of her website, and it's my name again is Gloria Taylor Brown, and Normandy Ellis is the co-leader of that trip, and we're going to do a trip, a divine trip to a divine land to discover the divine within.
Love it.
And I am putting that all into the show notes right this minute, just so you know. So it will be up in just a minute or two once I can finish the editing and saving it. So.
Well, I really appreciate it. And, you know, this is one of the things I want to address right now, because everybody has this question, and it's the first question I get asked. Is it safe to travel to Egypt? The answer is yes. We have had 7 tours over this year, not a single one of them. This is 3 shamanic journeys. Not a single one of them has had a single problem. In fact, we have been greeted like we were royal visitors, with the mayor of one of the major towns coming to greet the boat with bouquets of flowers for everyone on the boat, telling us how grateful they were that we were there, because they are so dependent upon the tourist economy. And, you know, you look at the news and it looks like, oh, my God, Egypt is in riot. Well, that's about a 3-block square. And if you stay out of there, there's not going to be any problems. And even if you don't, we had one tour that was actually there at the time of the revolution. They were actually in Tahrir Square at the time that Mubarak stepped down. Now, there will never be another tour that gets to express the elation that the Egyptian people experienced whenever that happened, and to say that they were part of it, and there was no problems. So I want people to understand that it's safe to go to Egypt. They will make it safe. It's a whole lot safer to go to Egypt than it is to go to East L.A.
Yeah. Well, right, yeah. And you're going there to have these experiences, and they're welcoming, they're helping to make sure that it's a great experience and everything. So, yeah, that's beautiful. I cannot believe I just looked at the time and went, oh, my goodness. Wait, the hour goes so fast. It's crazy.
It really does. Yeah, you know, time is speeding up. I mean, here we are almost the end of 2012, and to me, it seems like it should be February.
It really is accelerating quite a bit. And yes, it's been so cool having you here. And so I want to make sure that I just want to recap a couple of the websites that you've mentioned, Gloria, and then we'll finish up in just a moment. So, InvokingTheScribes.com
is the website for my book, Invoking the Scribes of Ancient Egypt. It's available on Amazon. It's also available from Inner Traditions and from bookstores, Chappaqua bookstores. Bookstores need lots of help.
And
shamanicjourneys.com is where the information about the Egyptian trip is. You can also contact me, Gloria, at taylorbrownbooks.com, and I'll be happy to talk with you about it. Obviously, I am happy to talk about Egypt anywhere, anytime, in any dimension.
Yes, very, very true. Yeah, had a really interesting encounter with an artist in Sedona that I'll have to tell you about sometime, where he's done a lot of Egyptian studies and has some artwork about it. And there was a place I recognized from his vision that, and I'd never seen his particular work. I was like, oh, I know that place. And was talking all about it. And he just had this look of, oh. So great to have you be able to share this. And really, about completely 100% being who you are. And the ones that are okay with that will be drawn to you. And the ones who aren't won't. And you don't need them anyway as your customers if they are going to be offended, put off, or whatever by anything that you are doing or any part of who you are.
I agree. And here's the thing. We all put out an energetic signature that is who we are. And if you think it doesn't travel over the web whenever you send email or you put out a website, You're wrong. Mm-hmm. Your energetic signature is there no matter who you are. So you might as well be yourself.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. It's a lot more fun. It brings light into the world when you just are who you are anyway. So.
Yeah, my grandmother always used to say, tell the truth. It's much easier. Then you don't have to remember what you said.
Yeah, exactly. That's really great.
That's too funny. When I saw you a few weeks ago, Gloria, your husband was ill. Is he doing better?
Well, he actually, it turned out he had a stroke, a small one, and he's had a TIA since then. We're actually going to get in the car and go to a doctor as soon as I get off this interview. I'm fully expecting him to get better. But he is having some challenges right now, and I'm exploring those challenges.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I will ask our listeners, and I will send him positive healing energy as well. Hopefully they can do the same.
Yes, and, you know, we can't end without saying that we want to send prayers and positive healing energy for the children and the families in Connecticut, too.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Peacefully, you know, if nothing else, you can send a prayer. You can send a thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a great gift to do that.
And be grateful for what you've got and be grateful for your children because they can be taken from you in an instant.
I'm reading a very interesting book right now by Temple Grandin, the woman who was autistic and has done a lot of work with animals. And in her book, she talks about the lessons she's learned from animals and how that applies to us as humans. And her book really made some comments about that kind of thing and why she thinks that's happening more often these days than it has in the past. Very interesting book. You would love it, Gloria. Animals in Translation.
Yes, I would. I've known Temple for many years. We actually shot video of her in our living room about 15 years ago.
Well, if you can get me in touch with her, I would love to have her on our show.
Well, I'll see if I still have her contact information. But she's a very unique person.
She really is.
And she has managed to transcend some major challenges to become the person that she is today. And I think we should applaud, you know, we all have to transcend challenges, but some people have more challenges than others. And just holding them in the light and holding them in our prayers and holding them in that is the energy we want to move into, that we support one another. I mean, the whole point of relationship marketing, relationships, is about relationship. It's about being together, and it's about the fact that we can make each other better.
Yes.
Beautifully
absolutely
said, Gloria.
Beautiful.
What a great way to wind up the year on Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Right, Rhonda?
Yes, it is, and we will see you next year. We're very happy to have all of our listeners and all of our guests who enrich us and enrich this world with your brilliance and with your gift.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for being here, Gloria. If I can do anything to help you or your authors, please just don't hesitate to contact me.
Thank you. And thank you both for brightening the world.
Thank
you. Too. I'll be in touch with you soon.
Okay.
We will be back next year on Blog Talk Radio for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101. Have a great new year and a wonderful holiday, everybody. Thanks, Rhonda.
Thanks, everyone.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.